Hola, hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. In this episode, I'm going to recap Zine Fest. It's the festival I've been prepping all my zines for. Spoiler, it went really well. I'll be going through my observations, trading, and all the cool creators I met, as well as like some takeaways and maybe some advice to other people that are interested in like a tabling style event. So let's get right into it on this episode of Vos Memos. Alrighty, so Zine Fest was amazing. I sold over 50 zines, which I did not expect at all. And it was super busy, bustling the whole time. I asked my boyfriend to bring me like a book because at first I was a little nervous that I was going to be bored because it was a 5-hour event. But by the time he came like halfway through to check on me, I was like in the middle of sales. Like even the people that I asked to come like visit me, I like couldn't even say goodbye to some people because I was like getting bombarded with like people talking to me, which was super fun, super cool. But yeah, it went way better than I could have ever expected. I also set my expectations very low because one, I hadn't ever been to that event in particular. And two, I didn't want to like be disappointed. So my only goal was to make back my tabling fee, which I did. So success. How do you define success? There you go. It was a successful event for me. And then I had a great tabling buddy too, so that helped a lot because it kind of seemed like the tables were like thematically aligned, but it was also hard to tell because I only got up a few times. So I don't know. Either way, I had a great, great time. And let's get into like some of my observations at the event. Probably the best part was like watching people browse the zines on my table and then seeing their reactions. Like maybe they like point at one to show their friend or actually laugh or smile at a page. And I mean, as an artist, like watching somebody resonate with your art is like the highest compliment. And I didn't even care if like they bought it or not because I was just happy that they connected with it. And so I saw like two people told me about like when they saw my butterfly zine, which is about saving the butterflies. They are still an endangered species, especially the monarch butterfly. Two people separately told me that they had experience raising monarch butterflies, and this zine really resonated with them, and they wanted to bring it back to their community to share. So that was amazing to find like people in that niche, and just people in general that connected to the same niches that my zines were covering was really cool. Like, sometimes, like, I just didn't know if anyone would understand. Like, my niches are more accessible than some things I saw out there, but, like, X-Files and cat lovers. Like, once you start putting two categories together of anything, it just whittles down your audience so much. So, yeah, my X-Files zine definitely got a few smiles. My Eat the Rich zine was actually, like, my second bestseller, second to the butterfly zine. And I did go over this one a little bit on this channel, and I'll put the link to all of my zines on this podcast. That was my second bestseller, and I just didn't know how many Swiftie anti-capitalists would be at Zine Fest. Apparently, there were a lot. And in fact, twice, like, somebody came up and they're like, oh, I'm going to buy another one of these for my friend, which was really cool. And then there was somebody moving to Northeast Minneapolis, and that was perfect because of my Bored and Nord zine, which is just a tour of Northeast Minneapolis. So that was fun that it could actually help somebody, like, get acquainted with the area. And my last observation is that there were not that many poetry zines, which was surprising. I thought I was going to be, I don't know, well, I didn't know at all what it would look like, but I definitely thought it would be more 50-50 on poetry and art, but the Zine Fest itself, at least this one, was very heavily art and comic zines, and then just a few, like, informational type zines, and then very few poetry zines. So I think my poetry zine would have done a lot better, except I only printed 7. And I'm so scared because I had blank covers mixed in with the 7. I didn't realize until I tried to give somebody one, and they're like, oh, that one's empty. And it's like kind of haunting me. I'm hoping that nobody got a blank one, actually. I'm hoping that that was the first one that I tried to give out, and then I got rid of all the blank ones in the basket. But it is haunting me a little bit that there were blank ones in there. Yeah, I think my technology poetry zine would have done better if I had printed more of them. So, note to self, actually double check my inventory and print enough. Everything else I had plenty of. I think like 20 is a good amount of like for a first edition. And yeah, the technology one, I only had half of that, not even half of that. So, yeah, so that was just one thing that I wish I had done better, was just double check what I'm putting in the baskets. And then, I mean, a huge highlight for me was trading zines. And I knew this was a thing, but I didn't really realize how it would play out until I was there. And I started going around the tables and like seeing some things that I was interested in. And then luckily, like one of the first tables I went to, they're like, oh, like you're tabling here. Like, let's do a trade. And I was like, oh yeah. We're supposed to be trading if like you're into it. So then I was like trading like crazy. And I made about like 17 different trades. And I think like they did feel awkward at times. I was like, do you want to trade? Like, do you not want to trade? What are you willing to trade? Because some people's zines are like very high quality, you know, and you don't want to give them something that took you like 2 seconds to make. Like you want it to feel like a fair trade. So I think the thing I noticed that made it really like comfortable to do a trade was people were wearing like lanyards that said trade with me or ask me about trades, or they had a sign on their table that was like ask me about trades. And I would 100% do that at a future table because I was all about trades, and I'm sure some people felt a little of that awkwardness on their end too when they came up to my table. And I don't know. I don't want anyone to feel awkward, right? Like I was super open to trades. So that's a sign I'll have in my future. And if you're interested in seeing a bit of my zine haul, that's on the Instagram, and I'll post it to the YouTube channel. It's also on TikTok. I'm back on TikTok. We'll see. And it's the same handle on TikTok as well, at Wolf's Memos. And I'll post a bunch of the Instagram handles in the description of this podcast of all the zinesters I met because they have really cool stuff. And it was all very different than mine. So I don't know. Like, if you're looking for some kind of different zines, check those out because they're awesome. So let me get into some lessons learned. And it was a huge success, so I don't have any like total fails or flops, but I do have some things where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did that. For example, number one, bring supplies you don't think you'll actually need. The morning of, I just threw this like bag of rubber bands that I had into the tote, my plastic tote of supplies. Even though I hadn't like even touched those rubber bands in months. And then it turns out that was what saved my sign from falling off my table. Because I had it like safety pinned to the tablecloth, but the strap I had attached to the sign kept slipping and coming out of the tape and falling off, basically. But then I just stapled a rubber band on the back, and then boom, it was fixed. And it lasted for the whole 5 hours without falling off. So that was awesome. Really glad I packed that. And then I packed a stapler, and I was like, everything's already stapled, but I'll just throw that in there. And that I needed that stapler for my sign. So pack more than you think. Like, don't bring your whole entire craft cart, but expand your essentials list a little bit further than you think. And then I also desperately needed some better organization for below my table and on my person. For my outfit had zero pockets. So when I was walking around, I was having some trouble balancing everything in my hands. I needed like a pouch to collect the zine trades, like a big pouch, because some of the zines are like the size of a full sheet of paper. So I needed a big folder pouch for that. And then I just needed some more organization for like my actual zines, like the backstock. And yeah, like at the end of the day, I was literally finding zines in my purse. Like they were all over. So that would have been better to have a few more supplies. And then snacks. I didn't pack any snacks. And then I was sitting at my table like 30 minutes into the event. It's like 12:30. And I'm like, oh, I didn't eat lunch before this. And I'm going to be here for 5 hours. And so luckily, my boyfriend saved me with Wendy's. Thank you, Grant. I would have been severely like hangry by the end of the event if I had not had that. So that saved me. But the person tabling with me, she like brought a whole like bento box with her. So you could be more prepared and actually bring your own snacks. And then less is more is my next lesson. I was really debating like how many copies of the zines to have, and I was like, am I gonna run out? Like, obviously, if I had sold out of any of my zines besides like the one I underprinted, that would have been crazy. But yeah, the butterfly one, which was my top seller, I only printed 20 copies of it and I sold like 17. So 20 copies was about perfect, especially considering how varied my inventory was. Obviously, if you have less zines, then you could print more of them. But 20 copies of my zines was plenty. And then business cards. I did run out of business cards and I printed 20 of those. So anything that you're giving away for free probably needs more copies. I guess that would be the lesson. Have something free on your table that people can interact with and take, and then make sure you have a lot of it. Also, my business cards were really cool, so that might be another driver of why they ran out. But either way, I need more of those. I did have an email list on my table for to sign up for my blog, and that was a huge success. Filled out almost every line on it and basically doubled my blog subscribers, which was great. And so that was like another thing that like if somebody was like lukewarm on my zines, or maybe they ran out of money, like they're out of budget, or they just like want to support but they don't want to buy a zine, then they signed up for the email list. And that was also like a really easy exit if they felt like, oh, I signed up for your email list, thanks so much. And then they like walked to the next table. So highly recommend that. And I feel like you could even do it for Instagram or something. Like, give me your Instagram handle and I'll follow you. Or I don't know. Just get creative with like finding a free thing, a way to be interactive, and a way to get people's contact info and like stay in touch. And then speaking of contact info, this is some advice for just like in general, if you have a product like a zine, and then you don't put any information about yourself on it, like no one's gonna be able to find you after they buy the zine. And there are a couple zines now in my collection where it's just their first name on the back cover, and I'm like, who are you? Your zine is cool. I want to follow you, but now I can't. So if it's not on your stuff, then like always give out a business card or something like that. Like I know contact info can look ugly, but also contact info can be cute if you're creative with it, and I'll show you. One second. So for example, on the back of my Oh, I've never talked about this zine on the podcast either. Or maybe I have. I don't know. This is my I Want to Be a Bitch zine. So the back cover is what I wanted to talk about. You can make your contact info look cute. Like my contact info is literally a bookshelf with all my stuff on it. And like that tiny ass QR code works. Yeah. I would highly recommend making sure people can find you after they've bought your zine. because otherwise you're very elusive. And if that's your thing, fine. You can find out almost everything about me on the internet with just like typing my name. So I'm not like that, but I get it. Some zinesters are very much in person, underground, and that's fine. Just a suggestion. Last two takeaways or like lessons learned is just talk to people. Like, I was definitely nervous to talk to people at first, but, and I did get a few rejections. Like, I thought this one girl was a Swiftie because she was wearing a friendship bracelet with the letters, but she was not. And so it was a little awkward. But I was like, oh, are you a Swiftie? And then, like, we're all wearing masks. She's like, what? What are you saying? I'm like, are you a Swiftie? Yeah. And then she wasn't. So even through the rejections, it was way more fun once I was, like, talking to people that were interacting with my table and, like, finding out a little bit about them. And then I could, like, also market my zines a little better to them, too, because maybe, like, they say something that I'm like, oh, my God, I talk about that in this scene. So, and it would be demoralizing if I hadn't made a single sale and I was just talking to people and they're like, okay, bye, and, like, not buying anything. So it is tough advice if you're, like, table's not doing well. If your table's not doing well, and I've definitely been a customer on the other side of that interaction where I'm like, I'm not going to buy anything. Please stop talking to me. So it's a fine line. And I'm sure it takes practice. This was just my first event. So I'm just going to keep that in mind for future events. And then my last thing is just plan on resting after, because, oh my God, I was exhausted after Zine Fest. I crawled right into bed and closed my eyes. I had a huge headache. I was probably dehydrated. I think a lot of that was just like the mask putting tension on the back of my head and making it hard to breathe. But I'm happy to wear it because COVID is on the resurgence, which is scary. So I was fine to wear the mask, but I think it did help give me a huge headache. So I was just in bed and I like put this like aloe vera face mask on and I almost cried. It felt so good. It was cooling and my eyes were so tired. Like, I think just being in that customer service role again was a lot. So kudos to everyone that their whole job is customer service, because I do not get that kind of interaction at work anymore. Okay, we're coming to the end of my recap. So you bought some zines. What do you do with them? Yeah, this is a question I feel like some of my family and friends wanted to ask me, but they were already there. They're like, I don't know what to do with this stuff. I would say for my collection, I am shelving them. I'm just tucking them right next to all of my other books. And I haven't really experimented too much with the shelving. They're all just clumped in one section. But I think it would be fun to tuck them in near similar themed books if your library is that big. Or my plan is to get one of those fake book boxes and tuck them all in there and then like decorate the outside to like allude to the fact that there's zines in there. So that way they like stay protected and they don't get lost, because they are usually pretty small. So that's an option. Hopefully I'll post a video of that project when I'm done with it. Another option, coffee table or like trinket display. They're so tiny, like they can get tucked anywhere, right? And the big thing is like you want to like have access to them so you remember them, so you read them, so you share them. And if they're just hiding, then maybe you forget about them. So celebrate them. Celebrate your like collection. I would put them kind of in the same category as stickers. So whatever your policy is with stickers, you could probably find an adjacent solution for your zines. And then honestly, like they are a form of accessible art. So could be cool to frame it too if there's one that has a really cool spread or a really cool cover. And then lastly, you can give your zines away. Like I found at least one zine that I traded for and I was like, wait a second, this would be perfect for an upcoming birthday for a friend of mine. So I'm just going to tuck that in with the rest of her gift. And if If I saw a zine like that where I was like, oh, like this would be perfect for this person and this would be perfect for that person, I would totally get it for them. Like, because I think like it's just such a fun little like art gift to like get somebody, and it's just a fun magazine that's personalized to them. And then, yeah, also shout out any zinesters that you can on like your socials and stuff. Like, send love towards them because it is a small community, it's a niche community, and I think, but it's like a super welcoming community. So I think just sharing the love is another thing you can do with your zines. So I'll kind of leave it there. I'm feeling super inspired. I definitely want to go to more events like that. The people were amazing, and I just want to get more connected with the other zinesters in the area. So I want to do more poetry. I want to try some comics. There were so many cool comics, and I even like heard of this really cool strategy where this guy sends out a newsletter, like a monthly newsletter, and then once he's collected enough of like comics that he sent out, then he creates like an edition or volume of those. So I feel like that's a really easy way to pace myself, because the idea of creating a full comic book is terrifying. But yeah, like I'm super inspired, and I hope to go to another event like this very soon. And tabling or not, like I would just go trade zines at any zine fest, honestly. So I hope this inspires you to like check out some more zines and maybe make your own, because it's a great little hobby and anyone can do it. So thanks for listening to this one, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Vos Momos. Bye.